Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saobona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and every day we come to you with healing and help and understanding so that you can help transform yourself and be a positive impact on the lives of those you touch. We'll be back in a moment and talk about today's topic, which is going to touch the hearts of all of us, because all of us have had childhood experiences that are still impacting us today. We'll take a look at 5 personality traits that indicate a painful childhood. We'll be back in just a moment, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. Feel free to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll gladly come to you and get your comments. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Thank you.
Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Lateef, and today, Dr. Debbie Green wishes us to understand some of the issues that may be still affecting our lives, because we are all a part of, we are all affected by the events that shaped our earliest moments in life, our childhood. Things happen, and every event is recorded in our subconscious mind. The unfortunate reality is that we often don't realize that the things we struggle with are things we don't even consciously remember. Events that have happened that created an impression about ourselves and who we are and how we feel about ourselves. And whether or not we feel worthy of love, these events that happen in our lives are the result of the treatment we received by those who raised us and the people around us while we were being raised, our siblings, our teachers, our classmates, our friends, neighbors, people at the places where we frequented, church, community organizations, clubs, teams, activities. The way we experienced life in the early years affects our later years. And if we received information that made us feel there was something wrong with us, then we very likely believed it. And it shaped our self-esteem, and it shaped the kind of relationships we attracted to us. And it's shaping our current condition today. So, how do we know that we are still carrying perhaps childhood trauma or simply bad experiences that are causing us to react to situations today. Those little quirks in our personality, how do we know where they came from? And maybe there's something buried deep inside of us that needs repair, that needs to be healed so that we can become the best version of ourselves. So we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, as we go over these five personality traits that indicate a painful childhood. Now, if you are struggling, as many, with the idea of getting therapy, that still tends to be a stigma among many people. Think about if you had broken a leg and it was hurting you and it caused you to limp. Would you think that you were weak if you went to the doctor and had your bone reset and put in a cast to allow you to heal properly? Sometimes that's what therapy does. It allows us to heal from something that creates an imbalance in us. So we shouldn't look at it as a sign of weakness to recognize that there are things in our personality that are not helpful and might even cause us to be hurtful to ourselves and others. And that's what therapy is for. So today we're going to take a look at these personality traits. And Dr. Debbie Green, being the therapist that she is, was called away on an emergency this morning to go and treat those who need her help. And, of course, we'll give you an opportunity to explore some of the things that you may be living with. And then next week we can elaborate even further on ways these personality traits can be helped, be treated, perhaps with some very important methods of assisting you in perhaps being able to acknowledge that there are things that you don't like about yourself. And the first step to healing is taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for your own behavior, not blaming anybody, not trying to ignore what you see in yourself, but merely acknowledging that there are things about yourself that you don't even like, much less the people around you who remind you that the way you're behaving is unpleasant. There's always an opportunity for growth, and honesty is the first step toward growth, especially when we know that we have the power to become our best self. So when we know this, then we choose this. We choose to become our best selves by working on ourselves. And that means acknowledging that there are things we need to fix. Now, of course, unfortunately, because so many families are doing the same things, We don't always recognize certain behaviors as abusive. If everybody in your neighborhood got regular beatings, you didn't consider it abuse, you considered it discipline. If everybody in your neighborhood was constantly struggling for basic necessities like food, and if everybody in your neighborhood had various ways of trying to steal or commit some kind of illegal act in order to survive, for you it might have just been survival. But children should not be living under the stress of survival, nor should they be living under the fear of pain. So there are many things that have been normalized in our experience that are, in fact, painful childhood memories. So there are high-impact events in childhood that can include abuse, neglect, divorce, and chaos in the home. When there is a divorce, it does affect your childhood. It affects how you feel about yourself. It affects your sense of safety and well-being. And it does affect how your personality is formed. Childhood adversity is linked to a personality trait such as high negative emotional reactions and a very strong focus on external success, things that you are driven to achieve because you believe that you can somehow avoid reliving that pain. These personality traits may have developed as part of a way to protect the person from additional pain and loss. So how many of us know that person that's highly driven towards success, the workaholic, and they may be driven by that memory of not having enough food as a child, not having a warm coat in the winter, things that made them feel unsafe, insecure, and they never want to repeat that feeling of not being able to have what they need. And so they may be an overdrive when it comes to trying to make sure they earn enough money. And they don't always see the imbalance that can make them so driven that they chase away a spouse, neglect their own children. Where is this coming from? And although personality is a means of behaving, over time, certain traits can be changed if it's understood that behaviors are harmful. So multiple studies have found that adult personality is significantly affected by painful experiences in childhood. Experiences such as physical, sexual, or emotional abuse, neglect, parental divorce or separation, a parent's incarceration, being exposed to domestic violence, a parent's substance abuse, or serious mental illness. And sometimes as a child, we don't recognize when a parent is mentally ill. We just know that they're behaving the way they're behaving. But it is disturbing and painful. So out of all of these, most people have experienced one or more of these things in childhood. Think about it again. And we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 as we talk about the personality traits that develop as a result of these experiences and how that impacts your relationships today. And feel free to call in 515-605-9325 and feel free to press 1. We'll certainly get your comments. especially if you have questions as to whether what you experience fits into these categories. Let's take the first one, physical, sexual, or emotional abuse. Physical abuse. Again, if it's common for everybody to get spanked, beaten, hit with extension cords and belts and switches, if that's a common cultural thing in the community in which you were raised, you wouldn't necessarily consider it physical abuse. But it was. It was. And we've had this discussion many times because there are so many people who are still inflicting physical abuse on their children because they believe this is the way you raise a child. They don't know any better because this is the way they were raised. And they don't have an alternative to how to guide and instruct a child. And this is why we are very shortly launching our Parenting with Peace class to give some specific steps on how to raise a child without physical or emotional abuse. And let's take a look at emotional abuse. How do you know if you've been emotionally abused? If you've had a parent that called you bad names or told you to sit down and shut up and made you feel like garbage, well, that's the way children were treated. That's how parents believe you're supposed to treat a child. They considered a child as a lesser being, someone who you must exercise authority and control over, and above all, make them fear you. We're believing that. We must use fear in order to control, in order to protect. We're not understanding that when you cultivate trust, then you will cultivate a child who trusts you enough to follow your instructions. We're not understanding that, and so we use emotional abuse in terms of insults. And how many of us were insulted as children by our parents? Insulted and humiliated into obedience. And we didn't consider it as emotional abuse, but it was. Sexual abuse. Now, of course, we look at sexual abuse as, you know, perhaps being molested, having someone touch our genitals in a way that made us feel humiliated, embarrassed, you know, it was inappropriate. We think of that being sexual abuse, but sexual abuse is also the parent who shames you if they find you touching your body, exploring yourself, or exploring a friend, trying to figure out, oh, what are these parts? How do they work? And then suddenly you're snatched up and scolded and spanked because of your childhood curiosity. That was sexual abuse. You wouldn't think of it that way, but it was. So many of these things that happen, we didn't recognize them as abuse, and we wouldn't call it abuse, and we might even repeat them in the raising of our own children because we simply didn't know any better. When we learn how to teach our children about their bodies in a healthy manner, then we don't react with anger and disgust and punishment when we discover our children trying to figure out their body parts with their little friends. Because there is a way to steer that curiosity in a way that does not damage their feelings about their sexuality. And when we are punitive and shaming and denigrating of our children, we have abused them. And we don't realize it because we didn't know any better. Just like our parents before us didn't know any better. So the issue of abuse, of course, is greater than we realize. Now there is also the next one, neglect. And you think of neglect as possibly, oh, well, you know, they let their children alone, didn't comb their hair, didn't feed them, left the house dirty. And neglect, in a glaring sense, where the Department of Children and Family Services can seek out the parents and arrest them, well, you know, that might be easier recognized. But there's other kinds of neglect. There's the emotional neglect of when you don't bother to even talk to or listen to your child. You come home, you're tired, and they need to talk to you about something, and or they're crying, and you holler at them, shut up, and you don't listen. You don't feel their feelings. Maybe they're in pain. Maybe they hurt themselves. Maybe they're crying. And what they really need is a hug, but you tell them, stop that crying. You neglect them emotionally. And perhaps you are absent for long periods of time. And as a result, they get into mischief because they don't have supervision. And you neglect to provide a safe environment with safe supervision. And then when they do things that you are displeased with, you know, break things or run across the street and put themselves in danger, you're ready to punish them because you were not physically present to supervise them. And that is neglect. And we don't realize it, but that's what it is. When they've got a toothache and you can't get them to a dentist, you know, and year after year their teeth are rotting and you're constantly giving them sugar, and they're in pain and they can't concentrate at school because they're in pain, and you're angry because for whatever reason, maybe you don't have a dental plan or maybe money is scarce, but it's neglect. It's neglect. When you don't teach them about good hygiene and they go to school smelling badly because you have not taken the time to show them how to wash themselves properly, all of their body parts. That's neglect. So these things happen. It's a part of what we would consider normal childhood, and we don't call it neglect, but that's what it is. And then you have parental divorce or separation. The absence of a parent, it impacts a child's life. It impacts a child's life because that partnership of supervision, often that's one of the reasons why it doesn't happen. You end up having to neglect the child because there isn't the other person to fill in the gaps of time when one has to work and one needs to be home to supervise, or you need to have parents to be able to model what a relationship looks like in a household. And when one leaves, well, of course, where's the model for how you function as a partnership? It's not there. And usually divorce or separation is preceded by very emotionally disturbing circumstances, arguments, fights, maybe even physical fights. And sometimes these things lead to these next two things. The next one is a parent's incarceration. Their incarceration for many things. And it's distressing when a parent is taken out of the home and imprisoned and no longer can communicate with the children. Children, very young children, they don't know what happens. Even though they hear adults talk about it, they may hear adults say bad things about their parent that makes them feel bad. They may have witnessed police coming to take away their parent. They may have had to visit them in jail, and that makes them feel bad. And so there's a sense of shame that is perpetrated on a child when their parent is incarcerated. And adults are often very oblivious to the conversations that they have in the presence of a child about an incarcerated parent. It might even be a sensational story that was on the news, and so there's the public embarrassment. Everybody knows that your father, your mother was the one that was arrested. It's very painful and very traumatic. And then you have a parent that is involved in domestic violence and a child being exposed to it, watching your parents fight, watching them harm each other or harm you. And again, domestic violence can be fights between parents or beatings of children. It's violence happening in the home. And when you grow up in an environment where there is regular physical attack of one parent on the other, or just fights, both attacking each other, and you as a child are always fearful someone's going to get seriously injured or even killed, that is a very distressing way to live. So those are things that will affect your personality later in life. And they're very common. And if everybody in your neighborhood or many people in your neighborhood have instances of domestic violence, it might have seemed to be normal. Oh, this couple's fighting today. Oh, that couple's fighting tomorrow. Oh, this couple's fighting the day after that. You don't see it as an abnormal thing when it's common, but it still is just as traumatizing when it's in your household. And, of course, the last thing is a parent's substance abuse or serious mental illness. And when a parent is abusing a substance, be it alcohol or drugs, they're not in their right mind. And you, the child, know the difference between the parent in their right mind and the parent whose brain chemistry has been altered by something else. You learn very early as a child to see the difference. And the anxiety that you feel as a child when your parent is other than themselves is very distressing because you can't fix it. You can't make them better, and you can't make them stop drinking, smoking, snorting, whatever they're doing. Even if you throw away their things that they're using, they'll just go and get some more. And so, again, if everyone in your community gets drunk, takes drugs, as a child, you don't see it as something out of the ordinary. It's a part of growing up, but it's nevertheless still damaging. And many children grow up with parents who are substance abusers. Mental illness is often something that is not identified as such. People's behavior can be very much off, and as a child, how do you define when someone's behavior is a reflection of mental illness? You don't know. You just know this is the way they act. Sometimes they seem to not making any logical sense. And as a child, you learn very quickly how to adjust and adapt and avoid them when they are not in their right mind. But what kind of anxiety are you living with when someone may go into a fit of rage or may go into a violent rage, may suddenly start attacking you, might start attacking someone else, or in the other extreme, get so silent and non-communicative and you can't reach them. And it's a mental illness. But you're a child, you can't fix it. So what does that do to you, living in that situation? with the person who's raising you. So these are very common things that are not often identified. And when you have lived this, you don't know how much it has impacted the shaping of your personality and how much your behavior is a result of reacting to fear that you're going to re-experience this painful childhood. So we're going to take a break, and we invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. And we've got some callers on the line now. We will go to our phone lines right after this break. If any of those things we mentioned sound familiar, things that you may not have identified as abuse or neglect, things that were painful that you didn't think of as abnormal or out of the ordinary or even hurtful, and now you realize they were. They're not just a normal part of growing up. They're things that were painful. But let's talk about it. And we'll talk about the personality traits that may have evolved as a result of those experiences. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. And we will come right to the phone lines after this break. So we invite you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just a moment, so we want you to stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Lateef, sitting in for Dr. Debbie Green. She'll be returning with us next week, had an emergency that she had to take care of, and certainly her clients need her assistance this morning. But we are discussing our topic for today, which are five personality traits linked to a painful childhood. And we've just listed six things that may have impacted your childhood, six experiences that you may have had as a child. And before we go into the personality traits, we're going to go to the phone lines. And again, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lights your number up. Raise your hand on the switchboard, and we can open your mic and get your thoughts. And let's go to 773-960 and 813-646. You're next. And anybody else on our switchboard, got a comment, feel free to press 1. We'll come right to you. So 773-960, Grand Rising, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Hello, morning. This is Akubi James, the prince of my family.
Well, good morning, Grand Rising, Kufi James, prince of your family. How are you today?
Blessed, no stress, while they keep pressing. I tell people, keep pressing me because you're blessing me.
All right, wonderful, wonderful, yes.
You know, it's a good topic. I've been talking about traumatic trauma experience the last couple of months on my social media page. And I've been getting a lot of politicians and entertainers to really talk about it. A lot of us have unresolved trauma and, whoopings and abuse, verbal abuse, you know, psychological abuse. And, you know, I remember my mother whipped me one time with a switch. Really for nothing, but that, you know, sometimes people use abuse to put you under their order. You know, I remember back when it was violently, maybe about 2-3 years ago, they were shooting a lot of brothers in the street, and I called in WVON. I said, what's going on? I said, why is everybody picking on black men? And the brother in the background said, they're trying to put you in your place. And they just rung a bell. Yeah, abuse is saying, I am the gatekeeper. I am the order. You must follow my instructions. And if you don't, I'm gonna hit you again. You know, even with slavery, we're getting beat when they whipped the indentured servant. They didn't whip him by himself. They gathered all the other servants around and said, hey, everybody, come outside. Watch this. I'm going to beat Junebug. I'm going to strap him to a tree and whoop him. Because they were trying to establish an order of not getting out of hand. And I think that, you know, when I deal with my children currently, you know, my daughter, she's starting to do hair now, and I tell her I'm so proud of her, and I never whip my children. And I tell my children, I'm your biggest fan. And I thought I would lose them later on in life because I didn't, you know, whip them. I would always, you know, chastise them and explain what they did wrong. But I never put a hand on them because I didn't want to repeat that cycle of laying a hand because I felt that it came from the plantation. It came from that experience I had, and I will not put my hands on my children. And my children, they're geniuses, and you know, we have a great relationship. And so it kind of worked out for me. Last thing I wanted to say, just the other day, I think it was 2 days ago, I was on a train. She was abusing her little young child, and she was telling him not to sit down, and he was wanted to stand up on the train, and he said something to her. She said, shut the F up. And I said, excuse me. I said, is that your child? Oh, yeah. I said, do you love your child? Yeah. I go, why didn't you talk to him? Why didn't you tell him, you know, the curse word? Now he's sitting there stunned like he just got hit, you know, but he got hit with a verbal abuse. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I got two other sons. You just don't understand, you know, what I have to go through. You know, she's a single parent.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I said, people treat animals better than that. Your son is not an animal. I said, matter of fact, you're the first love of your son. And she got it. You know, she didn't argue back. And she said, sir, thank you, but, you know, I have to, you know, consider what you're saying. So I want to put out there that abuse or any type of thing is putting you under their order. Even if somebody sexually abuse you, that they're telling you that, hey, I'm around, you know, you're under my order. So can we view at it at that perspective, saying physical, verbal, psychological abuse is always trying to establish an order of control?
That's exactly what it is. People believing they should have power over someone, control over someone. And I'm glad that the woman that you spoke to was open enough to listen. Sometimes people get angry if you gently try to correct something they're doing because they don't like to be challenged. And so it's good that she actually listened, and perhaps she will not do that again. And, you know, what I've noticed.
Lucky.
Yeah, I mean,
I was
sometimes
lucky
people.
I was lucky that it was two other women. It was two other women behind me saying, "He's right. You need to listen to him right now." Because what she just said to
me,
I don't like that kind of help. You know.
Yeah, because I mean, they may have wanted to say something, but they were afraid because they didn't know, you know, she might listen or she might cuss them out. So, you know, they probably were wanting to also intervene, but were afraid to. So it's good that you had the courage to speak up for that little boy who didn't need to be cussed at, because that is emotional abuse. And all of us who've been cussed at, yes, that is emotional abuse, you know. And, you know, if we've been spanked, yeah, that is physical abuse. It's what it is, and it did affect us. And what I've noticed is that people who went through that, they react either one of two ways. Either they realize that it was abusive and they choose not to do that to their children, which you did, I'm glad to hear. And I did the same thing. I chose not to hit my child. But then there are people who were hit and they feel like, well, this is what you're supposed to do. And so they chose to do the same thing to their children, even though they knew it was damaging. And they'll say, well, you know, I was spanked and I turned out all right. But they didn't turn out all right. They got issues and they don't see it. So in a minute, we're going to go over some of those personality traits that develop as a result
They'll even blame God on it. They'll say, spare the rod, spoil the child.
when you believe that God is mean, then you'll interpret everything that you read as God's word as meaning what you think it means, which is to be mean. And most of the, and I had this conversation with a good friend of mine just yesterday. Most of the instructions that we've gotten from religious teachings that are supposed to have been inspired words or divine revelations, by the time they get reinterpreted by people who didn't have the same spiritual level of the ones who received the revelation, it gets twisted into their way of thinking. So if you think God is mean, if you think God beats up people, if you think God hates people, then you're going to twist whatever words you hear to mean that. And that's every scripture. So, yeah, you're right. People will blame God for their own meanness, and that's why we keep seeing children getting beat, and then they quote that, oh, well, the Bible says, spur the rod, spoil the child. Well, if it says that, do you really think it means that you're supposed to beat your child or else otherwise it'll be spoiled? Is that what you interpret? And people interpret it that way because that's what they want to do. Like you say, they want to have power over somebody. And so
well, one of the worst beatings I got when I was in third grade, I think I did something. I was talking too much in class, and they took me down to the principal, and he took a big old wooden paddle out, like fraternity paddle, big old long paddle. I go, what's about to do with that? Turn over. He hit me about four or five times, and I was like, call the police. Somebody call the police. And he had rights to hit me.
Right.
He had rights to hit me.
So you had the experience just like the person on the plantation, not only beating mm-hmm. but public humiliation, because that's all part of it. And how damaging is that to a child? And you can't figure out how to help a child. What if a child is talking in school? That means they got something to say. So give them an opportunity to express themselves and help them understand how to wait their turn to talk. You know, and that means that the administrators and the adults who administer that paddling policy, they didn't have the skills to teach you. And that's really mm-hmm. what the problem is. They didn't have the skills. And instead, they'd all you tell them to write, you hit them. And you have people still saying, we need to bring back spanking in school. We need to bring back spanking. No, we don't. We need to learn how to teach with compassion and understand that children are children, and they need to be able to express themselves. They're not robots. They're yeah. children. They have energy. And they're not bad when they express that energy.
This should actually turn out to be manifest into like a support system in school, a class, you know, on how to reprimand a child, or what ways to do something without hitting them verbally, sitting down. Sometimes you give them a stand in the corner. You have to stand in the corner. I used to have to write 100 words on the chalkboard or whatever, but there's a different way without putting your hands I remember every spanking I got in my life like it was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it, we all do. We all remember, if not on a conscious level, definitely on a subconscious level, every single beating is recorded in your subconscious mind, and they all impact your behavior. I'm going to see if I can take another call before we go to break. Thanks so much for your comments. We appreciate your contribution to this conversation, and hang on, because we may be back after we take this caller. Area code 813-646 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising, LA, Central Florida.
Hey.
Oh, as far as abuse goes, childhood, I don't think I experienced any. I mean, back my generation, okay, every kid caught a beat down from parents. I mean, it could be an ironing cord, go cut a switch. If the switch ain't big, you know, that was psychologically a beating right there. But back then, culturally, nationwide in the United States, that's the way it was. Now, today, judging from today's standards, most of those parents would be locked up. However, 2023 ain't 1968. So, but I looking back on that, I didn't look at it as the whippings, beating, whatever you want to call it. I didn't look at it as a beating. I didn't know anybody that experienced any type of sexual abuse or whatever. But when it comes to abuse, I would say the court system is one of the primary ways that people abuse each other today as well as 50 years ago or even 100 years ago. And my mother was a nurse anesthetist, and she caught me, you know, coming through that emergency room. You know, these weren't kids abusing anybody. These are adults abusing. I mean, people coming in with knives in them and all this other stuff. So I think abuse happens. I mean, it can happen to anybody at any age, but that put it this way. In my opinion, from what I'm looking at it, family court is, really abused just split up families Monday through Friday. So I think that might have a bigger effect on what happens with abuse of the court system, abuse of the legal system, abuse of government agencies. I think that might have a bigger impact than what happens to, well, of course, you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, because sexual abuse of a small child, very bad news. or like this 6-year-old that shot his teacher a couple weeks ago. That's crazy. So, you know, I'm just looking back at my life. For childhood, I didn't have any abuse problems or nothing like that, and I don't know if any of my friends had it. If they did, they didn't say anything about it. But like I said, from that court system, particularly family court, that system can really be abused. So I'll land my plane there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, you mentioned the 6-year-old that shot the teacher, and I'm just looking at all the dynamics in that situation. I understand that the administration of teachers were warned that this child had a weapon, and nothing was done. So I just listening yesterday that there is a lawsuit being filed because they failed to act. And again,
The thing about that case, Naomi, in my opinion, and she's got a case against that school district, but I think the reason why they probably didn't, and I don't know none of those people, is because, first thing, it's hard to just even fathom a 6-year-old coming to school with a gun. I mean, you got to process that. That's about the process. And they did this, probably took it for granted.
You know, or just didn't believe it or whatever. And, you know, and I try not to, you try not to make things about race, but they kind of are. And, you know, if it had been a little black child, they would have jumped on it.
No doubt about it. Yeah, no doubt. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
And we know that. And so looking at this, it makes you realize how when people are in denial about things that's wrong in their culture, in their lives, but they're quick to criminalize you, it's because they don't see that the same thing is inside of them. The society is sick. So if a little black child is carrying a gun to school, it's a reflection of whatever the problem is, and a little white child is going to end up carrying a gun to school. So if they didn't react, if they didn't respond the right way when the black child was carrying the gun, and instead they criminalized the child, criminalized the parents and everybody else, but then when the little white child is carrying the gun, they ignore it, that lets you know that our society is so twisted that we don't see that the problem is in the home. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the race of the people. There is a problem in the home, and people need help. And criminalizing people doesn't help them. So these things that we don't look at as abuse, they are abuse. And just like you say, you know, everybody's getting beaten, everybody getting the switch, you know, and everybody getting paddled, all this stuff. Nobody looks at it as something that is harmful, but it is. And then when we see aberrant behavior coming out of our children, they're just reflecting what's inside of us.
Let me ask you this. Now, for sake of conversation, I'm gonna colorize this. Many people in the white community, not all, but many, for a 6-year-old, they would put that person in time out. But do you think, I mean, I don't think that would have happened in a different cultural household. This kid needs more than a time out.
Yeah. When you have the kind of anger that you can shoot to kill at 6, something has happened to you. And it's a deeper thing than just a timeout. And we keep thinking that when a child reacts in a severe way, that what they need is more severe punishment. So we think, oh, we just beat that child. I will beat it out of them. No, because if a 6-year-old has enough anger to be carrying a gun and point it and shoot it, beating them isn't going to make them less angry, it's going to escalate the anger. So what happened to produce that anger, the reason why they're carrying a gun? And in either way, and in any case, a timeout is not the appropriate response, nor is putting them in handcuffs the appropriate response. What's happening in that household that damaged that child? That's what we have to find out. We have to heal the hurt. And just like we were saying earlier, if you break your leg, ignoring it doesn't make it go away. And you don't spank your child if they fall and break their leg. I'm going to punish you for being hurt. That's also the wrong response. We have to know the right response when someone is hurt, when someone's been abused, neglected, they're in pain. We keep responding wrong. That's how come we're getting our children reacting in the way they are. We are responding in the wrong way because we don't know any better because we were abused. And we thought that was what you're supposed to do. So this is why we have the situation we have. But, yeah, you're right. Some people might say, the child was naughty, carried a gun to school, he needs a timeout. No, what are you doing in that house that would put inside the mind and heart of a child that they need to take a gun to school, point it at the teacher, and shoot her? Something's happening, and we gotta be honest about what it is. So anyway, we got to take a break. Thanks for your call, L.A., and we're going to go over those personality traits that develop when someone has experienced abuse from childhood, a painful childhood experience. These are the behaviors. So for those of you who are saying, I got spanked and I'm okay, well, listen in and see if any of these personality traits are things that you are struggling with, and maybe these are the things that happen as a result of those spankings that you say made you turn out okay. We'll be right back after this break, and if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts, and we may come back to those who spoke earlier, so hang on with us, and we will be right back. So stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks, and thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day, and thanks for listening.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson. Now I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our wonderful host, Dr. Debbie Green, who was called away on a very important situation with a client that she, of course, had to handle. So we wish her all the best in making sure that people are emotionally healthy. And thank you to our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks, says, Grand Rising, beautiful queen, sister, still working through childhood trauma. It's an ongoing, lifelong journey. Thank goodness for this show. Yes, yes, we're all working through our traumas, and we all have them. And the most empowering thing we can do is to recognize that we have them. So now, here are five personality traits that we may be exhibiting as a result of childhood painful experiences. I'm going to bring them up on the screen here for those who would like to visually follow along. And the thing to do is to be honest and think about if this is, in fact, something that you know that you have seen in yourself that may be affecting your relationships, your career, your state of well-being. The first trait is neuroticism. A difficult childhood places a person at risk of experiencing a high degree of negative emotion. They may be prone to depression, worry, anger, panic, or other forms of anxiety. Once the person is upset, it may be hard to recover. These emotional difficulties are understandable given that the person probably experienced a lot of difficult emotions as a child without learning how to manage them. So, again, just think about if you're constantly under fear or stress, you know, going to get a spanking, going to get a beating, this happened, that happened, your parents going to come home, and it was a common thing, or you didn't get the housework done, or you got a bad mark in school, or you got a report from your teacher, or you went outside and fell and skinned your knee, well, you shouldn't have been outside playing anyway. I mean, every kind of thing. And you're always under that anxiety, waiting for a beating, and that was the way you were raised, and many of us were, you're going to be a little neurotic, meaning you're always on edge and easily upset because you lived in a state of being, of always being anxious and worried. When is that next beating coming? And this will cause you to become neurotic. Number two, anger, aggression. Related to high neuroticism, childhood adversity also predisposes a person to be angry, hostile, and verbally or physically aggressive. They may also tend to act impulsively. These behaviors may have been learned from observing them as a child. They may also have developed as a protective measure against loss or maltreatment. So now we talk about that child who takes a gun to school. Oh, do we give them a timeout or do we give them a beating? Well, if they got that kind of anger in them already, that they're looking for the parents' weapon and taking it to school, chances are they've already been beaten or something has happened. So the anger, the hostility, the aggression, it's already in them because they've been abused. And we keep thinking that when a child acts out, the solution is more beatings. That's the exact wrong thing to do because we've already instilled in them anger. The reason why they have the anger and the aggression is because of the beatings. And I'm speaking from one who knows, who had to work through an anger management issue myself. And this is why I did not raise my child with corporal punishment, because I know what it creates inside of you, intense anger. So this is usually a sign that someone has had a childhood where they have been abused. Number three, low agreeableness. Those who were mistreated or neglected early in life are more likely to be hard to get along with and to get into frequent arguments. They may have a hard time cooperating with others, preferring instead to go it alone. These tendencies may be related to experiencing a lot of negative emotions, including irritability and anger. So again, you know, you've got somebody who is not able to cooperate, has a hard time working with people. What did they likely experience in their childhood? Were they likely not listened to, abandoned, left alone to work out problems, not tended to when they were crying, not listened to, not comforted. So you learn not to trust, and you learn that you can't trust people to treat you right. So you tend to be hard to get along with because you're already expecting people to disappoint you because that's what you experienced. Number four, external success orientation. Early negative life experiences can lead to arrogance and an unhealthy form of pride, perhaps to bolster an underlying sense of inadequacy or vulnerability. On a related note, the person will tend to crave fame and financial success, often in an effort to ease the pain and privation of the past. Now, we can name a whole bunch of people who are megastars, and they have shared very painful childhood experiences. I'll just name two. Oprah Winfrey talks about how her mother left her, basically, as a young child, because she's been a teen mom, and you know, Oprah found herself in the care of one of those old-fashioned grandmas with the switch. And then when she finally did go to live with her mother, she was treated kind of bad because she was dark-skinned. So, I mean, all of that early childhood abandonment, abuse, you know, that becomes the underlying drive. Another person, two people. Well, one, of course, Tyler Perry speaks of how his father beat him, you know, beat his mother. He had to watch that. The hurt, the anger, the rage, and the drive to excel beyond and escape, even though the pain is still there. But there is a drive to overcome that. And then, of course, classic case, Will Smith. We saw his anger explode, and he realized all of that was still in him of watching his mother beat his father. And you think that the fame and the money is going to erase the pain, but as the whole world saw, it doesn't. And something can trigger it, and next thing you know, it explodes. So there, even Halle Berry, she's spoken about, you know, the relationship, the absence of the father and all of that, and the drive to be this megastar who's loved and adored. You know, people who we admire for their external fame, and they reach that, but there's still pain inside. It doesn't go away, even though you reach the financial success. The pain really doesn't go away unless you can recognize that's what it is. And sometimes your relationships suffer because it's still there and it surfaces. Number five, low engagement. Despite their focus on external success, the person may struggle to find true engagement in life. They may lack a clear sense of purpose and have a hard time finding constructive activities they care about and enjoy. They may also struggle to be productive and complete tasks and may find it hard to feel good about themselves and their accomplishments. Socially, they will tend to be independent or even aloof. And, of course, sometimes people have difficulties finding and maintaining intimate love relationships because, well, there's lack of trust. You know, you've been through abuse, you've been through pain, you don't want to experience it again, and you may keep people at a distance, and it may be difficult to make real friendships or have a real loving, intimate partnership, a marriage that lasts because of the pain and distrust that comes from childhood abuse. So these are personality traits that often surface and manifest as a result of a painful childhood past. And so if you have had problems in relationships or have had anger issues or trust issues, the thing to do is to look at what you experienced as a child. And even though it might have been a common thing in the neighborhood you grew up in, maybe there are a lot of single mothers who were stressed out all the time and cussing out their children, because that's how you got to keep control of your children. You make sure that you beat them down verbally so that they behave. Maybe that was the way mothering was done. And so there wasn't the idea that this is emotional abuse. But you're going to manifest the effects of it in your personality later on because of the damage that it did inside of you, even though it was common and even though it was accepted. Those who have watched themselves struggle through personal relationships or even estranged relationships with family members or children, it's very easy for us to point fingers. Well, this person did this and this person did that, or even to blame our parents because they did impact us. But ultimately, Once you recognize what's hurting you, you're responsible for your own healing. Just like if you fall and break a leg, you are responsible to call the ambulance, call the doctor or drivers or whatever. Get to the doctor because you know you need healing. And that is where many of us find ourselves, taking responsibility to fix the problem, not point fingers at blame of who didn't treat us right or who owes us an apology. Because sometimes the people who abused you will never acknowledge that they abused you. Definitely your parents are not going to acknowledge it. I believe I remember a story of Tyler Perry saying, you know, he was angry at his father for beating him as a child. And then his father responded, if I'd have beat you more, you might have been Obama. Okay. So you're basically saying that these beatings were good and it made me a better person and it made me achieve and I'd have achieved even more if you'd beat me more. And you really believe in that? And you might have parents who believe that. They may have scarred you deeply and they will never admit that what they did was abuse. So you can't need people to admit that they hurt you in order for you to heal. That may never happen. Most of the time, people who used corporal punishment, they thought it was for your own good. They said, well, this is going to hurt me more than it hurt you, and I'm doing this for your own good. And they believe that. They do not believe it was abuse. And even if you explain, you can even lay out what a beating does to the brain. And you can even explain biochemically what it does to you, what it does to your body. You can explain all of that. And they still will hold on to the belief this was the right thing to do. You had to be disciplined. And they won't admit that they abused you because that's how they were taught. And that's probably how they were raised, which is why they do not see themselves in any of these personality traits that they probably had, the reason why they abused you. So our responsibility right now is to stop the cycle. Stop the cycle of pain so that we don't raise another generation of children under this kind of mindless abuse. And I'm so happy to hear those who say, I made a decision to raise my children differently. That takes a lot of courage to look at oneself and know that there are scars based on childhood experiences and to consciously choose not to inflict those same scars on our own children. But we have to stop the cycle of pain. And when we can do that, then we can see the world change. Because people will change because they will not be walking around in pain. So we invite you to call us 515-605-9325. If you have made a decision to change the way you were raised and make it different than what your parents did, why are you changing? Or if you've decided to do what they did, maybe you feel like, well, look, I got this child who's just, he's too mouthy, he's 5 years old, and he's already cussing, and I need to smack him in the mouth because you don't talk to a person like that. You know, I got this grandchild, and my parents would never let me disrespect them that way. So I need to show how you don't let a child just say anything. So I'm going to smack him in the face. I'm going to knock his nose off. You know, I mean, if you're believing that, I'm going to take my belt and whip his, you know, okay. You're believing that. Why are you believing that is, why are you believing you can beat respect into someone? You know, feel free to call. You know, be honest. And if you're on our switchboard now, feel free to press 1, 515-605-9325. We want to have a reasoning, as my sister Mama AZ says. We'd like to have a reasoning with you. If you're believing that you need to beat some respect into your children, you need to beat some obedience into them. If you're believing that, we want to hear from you. Because until we understand as a collective, we'll keep doing these things. And we'll keep creating people with anger and rage and hurt and distrust and detachment, where they can't form and keep good relationships because they can't trust people because they've been hurt too many times. We want to help people get better. And that means healing what's inside of us. And everybody who misbehaves and hurts people, they do it because of what's inside of them. So if we can heal each damaged soul, then that will be one less soul that is hurting other people because they've been hurt. But we need to know how to do it. And you don't give pain in response to somebody who's in pain. So again, we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. If you're on our switchboard now, feel free to press 1. We will open your mic and get your comments. There are steps to take to deal with childhood trauma. We've got it up on the screen. If you're watching us on Facebook, we've pulled it up on the screen. And we share a few comments from our Facebook viewers. We want to add to your thoughts. Oh, yes, and our Tuesday host, Jody Susan Essential, says, so does having an unbalanced serotonin levels. And again, serotonin, one of those brain chemicals that are affected when your moods are affected, and we'll talk about that more. And she says, where is Debbie Green? Our dear Dr. Debbie, you know, had an emergency she had to take this morning. They called her in. She had to come in this morning. You know, she is a therapist, and many of her clients are going through some critical things. She handles people in serious situations, suicidal situations, homicidal situations. So when they call her and say, we need you to come, she got to come because she's literally saving lives. So when she gave me the notice early this morning, she said, I got my subjects together. If you can just go through the points, you know, that'll help. But I got an emergency. So that's what our sister does. You know, she saves lives. And she's in the trenches, as they say, with people who are going through some serious emotional trauma. And many of us are too. We just hide it a little better. But we need to understand the root causes. And Viata, our Friday host, says, Grand Rising Sistar, lack of conscious love in childhood is part of the problem. Yes, lack of conscious love. You know, we got people who they mean well. They just don't know well. I mean, how many of us have had that beating where, you know, the parent says, I'm doing this because I love you. If you loved me, you would not be doing this. If you understood what love is, and they're believing that causing you pain is a sign of love because they don't know how to correct behavior without doing damage. They don't have the skills. They're unconscious. And Beata says, Naomi Judd used music and performing as therapy for what we now know was a very traumatic childhood. Her suicide teaches us a lot about the depths of pain that many carry all their lives. Yes. Yes. Because there are ways of helping someone who's dealing with emotional trauma. Now, we know that there are schools that are creating different ways of handling children that may be out of order. Kufi shared his experience of getting paddled, and that used to be a very common thing. You know, a child won't stop talking, he won't sit down and be quiet. Okay, take him to the principal's office and give him a whack. But there are some schools that will take you to a room and let you meditate with soft music so that you can calm yourself. And you can reset your brain chemistry, which might have been, you know, an imbalance of adrenaline or, you know, you might have been upset because of something that happened in your household before you left. You might have witnessed that fight between the parents before you left for school. And so your brain is literally on alert and you're wired up and you're upset. And so what you need is something to calm you down. And there are schools that are now recognizing this, that what you can do is give a child, not a time out in the sense of, you know, stand in a corner and be punished and face the wall, we, you know, humiliate you and let everybody know you're a bad child. Not that. But we understand you're going through difficulties and we care about you. We're going to give you a chance to calm yourself down and relax yourself so that then we can possibly talk about what it is that's upsetting you. It's that kind of thing. Now, maybe if they had done that, when they heard that child had a gun, ignoring it was the wrong thing to do because he did pull it out and shoot someone. And, you know, the teacher should sue because they were alerted that he had a gun. They didn't respond. Calling the police to have him arrested, handcuffed, thrown in the back of the seat, further traumatized, that was the wrong thing to do. They did that to a six-year-old black girl because she was having a tantrum. That, and she didn't have a gun. But that also, wrong thing to do. But what they could have done was taken that child aside and talked to him, brought his parents in, removed the gun from his backpack. They could have handled that differently so they could have avoided a tragedy. But they could have recognized there was something happening in his family that pushed him to that point of rage where he could take a gun and go to school and shoot a teacher. So we got to learn methods of resetting the brain chemistry that Jody talked about. We have to learn the methods of doing this instead of punishing people for being in pain. So thank you, Viata. We're looking forward to tuning in tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Viata on the Female Solution. Every day we're helping give you solutions to the issues that all of us are facing. So all of our hosts are sharing their wisdom and knowledge, and we invite you to tune in every day of the week so that we can all help raise ourselves and others to emotional and physical, psychological, and spiritual wellness. That's why we're here. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about how we can help ourselves if we find ourselves still struggling with things in our past. We'll talk about making peace with your past. How do you do that so that you can begin to correct those personality disorders that have arisen as a result of a painful childhood? We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Coming to you every week,
sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, sitting in for our host, Dr. Debbie Green. She'll be back next week, and of course, we'll get an opportunity to elaborate more on how to heal from a painful childhood. We've all had experiences, and even though they may have been common in our environment, abuse, neglect, abandonment, feelings of abandonment, perhaps if a child experienced a parent being incarcerated for a long period of time, being absent as a result of a divorce or separation, having mental illness or substance abuse. These are painful things that many of us have experienced, even a parent who might have been mentally ill, and it wasn't called that. People just knew they, you know, a little off sometimes. But we as a child had to adjust to it and live with it and understand how to survive in spite of it. And these things could have produced some personality traits that make it difficult for us to sustain a healthy relationship. So now, how do you make peace with your past? It may be painful to recognize yourself in these traits, which generally are not considered desirable personality characteristics. It might feel like double jeopardy, being wounded in childhood and then carrying the scars as an adult. But you might extend yourself some compassion. The personality you've developed is understandable and even predictable, exactly what we would expect based on existing research. As Rosemont and Rogers, 2006, concluded, consequences of childhood adversity prevail throughout the lifespan. It's your whole life. You're going to be dealing with these things you experienced. Consider the things you've managed to accomplish in your life despite the early challenges you lived through, like the friends you've made and the successes you've had. Remember also that you're not alone. Painful childhoods are tragically common. So there are countless others who share in your history of suffering. You might find yourself drawn to these individuals, recognizing even unconsciously a similar background and understanding of the world. The personality traits described here probably developed as ways to protect yourself from further pain. And while adversity may have formed a protective shell around your heart, it didn't steal the love you have to give. Beneath a tough exterior is a gentle heart that longs to give and receive love from those who care enough to get to know the real you. And that's something to remember. All of us have friends who remain our friends in spite of us. They are people who know who we are, they know our faults, and they love us anyway. So it's good to appreciate those people, because even if you never get it together, they will still be your friend. The next thing, the reason to hope. While personality is relatively stable, research shows that it can change over time. Personality change can happen relatively quickly, in as little as 4 weeks, with some form of treatment, psychotherapy or medication. The trait that's most responsive to treatment is neuroticism, or the tendency to experience negative emotion. Now, of course, our hosts talk a lot about natural ways of helping the body to correct an imbalance, and so I am always one for natural ways of treating an imbalance in brain chemistry that affects behavior. So you can listen in, our Tuesday host, Jody Susan, our Friday host and Sunday host, Viata Robinson. You know, they're sharing ways of healing that doesn't create adverse effects in your body, because we know that this is a very highly pharmaceutical-based society. And first thing people want to do is give you some type of medication to deal with your depression or to deal with your fear or anxiety. And even Zelda on Monday, you know, gives you a whole set of breathing exercises to calm you down and help you to reset your internal system. And oxygen is a powerful thing. You know, just let it go through your body. So there are ways to help when your personality is affected by your biochemistry, which is affected by being in a constant state of anxiety. And so, you know, we urge you to listen to our hosts, watch their shows, learn things that can help you. Now, also, this article says, a painful childhood may have shaped who you are, but it doesn't have the final say in who you will become. Consider starting therapy if you haven't already. You may also try out this simple exercise adapted from mindful cognitive behavior therapy as a way to change your relationship with negative emotions. Look for an opportunity today to practice a different way of relating to difficult emotions. If you're feeling angry, for example, become curious about the experience. Sense anger as a pattern of energy in the body. Study what's happening in the mind as if you're an emotionologist. Open to whatever you find and notice whether this approach fits your emotional experience. And, of course, they recommend that you need to search for a therapist in your area. You can use the Psychology Today therapy directory. And we've got our own Dr. Debbie Green right here every Thursday. And, you know, you pretty much are getting a therapy session if you listen in and call in, especially as we address some of these common emotional conditions. All of us, as we reach adulthood and as we raise children of our own, we're often seeing a mirror of ourselves. We're often experiencing the consequences of our own emotional traumas that we have perhaps suppressed throughout a lifetime. One of the reasons why we are launching the Parenting with Peace class is because many parents who are young parents, they don't have any models for what is a healthy style of parenting. It goes from one extreme to the other. The beat them into submission model or the do nothing and stand by helpless model as they run wild and tear up everything and disrespect everybody. And you have these two extremes and neither is correct. So what we seek to do is a proactive way of showing how to actively use love as a way of shaping behavior. Instill in the child compassion for others and an understanding that they are part of a collective community and they are responsible for how they are impacting the lives of other people. You have to instill that sense of belonging in them early so that they realize they're not living just them. They're affecting everybody whose life they touch, their parents, their siblings, their teachers, their classmates, their neighbors. And it's their responsibility to do no harm. And they should do unto others as they would have them do unto them, which means if we're teaching a child these principles, we have to model them. You can't beat a child and say, don't hit your sister. You know, if you want the child to be nonviolent, then you have to model nonviolent behavior, which you can't do if you're having a fist fight with your spouse. So the challenge in these classes, in our first step, is in the parent examining themselves. That's actually lesson one, what's inside of you. And my wonderful team of hosts is working with me in this Parenting with Peace class because we have to raise the next generation differently. We have to change the methods we're using to shape and mold them so that they're not traumatized. And we have to do it if we're going to be parents in partnership. That partnership has to be peaceful inside the home. Yes, you have arguments, you know, you have disagreements, but there's a way even to resolve them so that a child can see that every disagreement doesn't have to end in violence or somebody getting put out the house. We need to be able to model that. And so this is what we're challenged, is to be our best selves for the sake of those that we're raising. We've got some comments here on our Facebook page. Let's share. And Viata says, much research shows one of the best ways to overcome depression is to go outside in nature and move. Absolutely. Fresh air, bird singing, plants, water. We are part of the earth that we're living in, and there's a natural healing that comes with being outside of these concrete boxes we're living in and having fresh air to breathe, not toxic air that we have inside our houses because we're using all these toxic chemicals to clean our homes. When we can go outside in nature, take a walk, it's a long time a remedy when you're upset. Go and take a walk. Go and take a walk in the park. Clear your mind. Calm yourself. Breathe. If you like jogging, go for a run. You know, do some yoga. You know, exercise your muscles. Stretch your muscles. Get the blood flowing throughout your system. Breathe deeply to get oxygen to those areas of the body that might be oxygen deprived. So little. And, you know, get up on Friday mornings and do some joint rolling with Viata. I don't mean the joints. I mean those might help some of y'all too. But what we do, is we roll our joints, the joints in our bodies. We get that exercise, the blood flowing, the the limberness you need to keep yourself healthy so that you're not in pain. Because being in physical pain does not make you feel good either. So, you know, these are things that can help reset your brain chemistry so that you are able to respond to challenges in a way that is not neurotic. You are not angry in a fit of rage, wanting to beat up somebody, cuss somebody out, you know, smack your little child because you're annoyed because they won't sit down. You know, this is one of the things that we're addressing even in our Parenting with Peace class. Most of the time when we're responding with violence to our children, it's because of something inside of us. And we're frustrated. And we're believing this child is disrespecting me and I'm not going to let them disrespect me. A two-year-old can't disrespect. A two-year-old is just a two-year-old. They're just trying to figure the world out. They don't have this devious plan to make you feel bad and shame and humiliate you the way your second grade teacher did. That's really what you're responding to, that memory of someone else who hurt you. So you project that onto a child who doesn't have those feelings and intentions. And that's why this beating culture keeps continuing, because we're projecting devious intentions onto the minds of children and they don't have them. And we're punishing them for having intentions to hurt us that they don't have. And so we have to unlearn those responses that come from our painful childhood experiences. So this is why we must heal our childhood wounds. And this is why when we recognize that we have these behaviors, we have to be willing to address them so that we don't pass on pain to others. So we're about to wrap up, and again, Dr. Debbie Green will be with us next week, and we pray that she's able to use her skills to help someone in distress this morning, that she had to come in and assist. And Beata says, thank us, the collective conscious community, for showing up to share and support each other. Excellent comments from listeners and your wisdom have blessed my morning. Oh, thank you, Beata. You made my day. Thank you. Yes, tune in tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Beata. As always, we appreciate all of those who are sharing their wisdom every day on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And we got our brother that's got one last comment on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I love you, Minister Plump. What is your wisdom you wish to share with us today? You got about 30 seconds before we sign off. Go right ahead with your comments.
Well, and Yashalom, Assalamu Alaikum. Yes, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I want to know, how can I get into the parent class for peace? Yes,
well, peace. Thank you so much. Well, thank you, Minister. Thank you for that question, and we are going to be posting that. We're finishing up. It's an entire 12-lesson course, and we will be posting that. And as soon as it is posted live on the Internet, we will share that link with all of our viewers and listeners. As soon as we launch it, it will be launched very soon. We're looking at helping many of those parents who've lost their children to the Department of Children and Family Services because, you know, they've made mistakes, and we want to give them a way to parent their children that will heal the hurt that's been caused. But this course is available to all of us, regular folks, you know, parents, grandparents, because our goal is to raise the next generation with love and not fear. Thank you, Minister Plum, for being part of the Female Solution. We appreciate you. And as always, we will go to the Harold Washington Foundation so we can see all the great things that you're doing right on Facebook. And thank you all for listening today and joining us and being a part of the solution. Again, join us tomorrow for Health and Well-Being with Viata. Go to Soul Purpose Healing on Facebook and YouTube to see her beautiful face and participate in our joint rolling sessions. And I think we got, okay, 773-450. Oh, you got 30 seconds. Give us your thoughts before we start playing our goodbye music. Go right ahead.
Grand rising, hallelujah, greeting, and good morning to all. That's a great show that you had, you know, with some ideas that people need to improve themselves so we can just have a new generational thought, you know, because the way we're going, we seem like we're going backwards in generations, you know. When we were young and they had television and that, you could go out at night and not worry about much of anything happening. Today, people just do all types of massacres and murder each other up. And I mean, you see a six-year-old kill a teacher, everybody's surprised, but you wonder in the 72 months of him living, how much violence has he been exposed to through video games, movies, and TV for him to go get a gun and shoot a teacher? How about that? Sure appreciate it.
Well, you know, Obadiah, you are exactly right, because this happened as a wake-up call to us, because you can't feed a child violence and not expect them to feed it back to you. And as soon as we figure that out, we'll stop doing this. We'll stop giving our children violence as a steady diet. We'll stop showing it to them. We'll stop using it as entertainment. We'll stop.
We have to stop. Now, Emma, can you believe that that movie Wakanda Forever and all that violence in there wasn't even worth whatever positivity it had? Who wants to watch all that violence and help glean the positivity out of it? It's called crap, man. We shouldn't even be watching that type of stuff or looking at it. It's not helpful. But I appreciate it. You're on the right track. Yeah, go ahead.
I totally agree. You know, I was sitting there with my daughter. We watched it together. And, I mean, she laughed because I kept turning my head at the violent parts. I don't want to see nobody get stabbed. That's not, I don't want that in my brain. But I understand your point of view. And
what's wrong with that?
And definitely... Definitely, let's say when you know better, you do better. So thank you, Obadiah. We appreciate you so much. Continue to share your wisdom. And I'm Naima Latif, and you have been listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio Team.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan,
Tashakkur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.